Hello, what's up? Welcome back. Preview Podcast is here once again on a massive, massive week. Good Friday footy is coming up, which is incredibly exciting. We've got a massive one this week. We've got the Carlton Besties on with myself and Marnie, with the two Carlton Besties. If you guys don't know the Besties, Marnie is affiliated with that now. She does all the North Melbourne content for it. And yeah, it's a great channel, great page, Instagram, social media, all that sort of stuff. So get around it if you haven't. But that interview is about to come up to preview the massive game on Good Friday. Call to arms here, guys. I will be there in Bay 29. I think Bay 29 is sold out. So if you didn't get tickets, too bad, basically. But if you would like to, I'd love to say hello to you guys, the Close to a Flag boys, Marnie, outside Bay 29, where aisle 29 is on level one. We might hang around out in the little communal area just outside the bay where all the little beer shelves are. And yeah, if you would like to come down and say hello, talk about the game with us and just have a hang for like 15, 20 minutes before the third quarter starts, please do. So, Isle of Bay 29, the Isle 29, we will come out, hang outside of there at halftime against Carlton for you to come and say hello. And yeah, we can hang out and be friends. So that sounds fun. Please come and do that because it was fun meeting everybody last week and I would love to do it again. I can't believe how many people listened to this and it genuinely came up to me and said hello, which is very humbling and very cool. So yeah, I'd love to say hello to you guys and yeah, we can throw some Tristan Jerry and Aiden Core banter out at each other, which will be very funny. Okay, thank you to the Carlton Besties for coming on. We only had two microphones. I have other microphones, but they weren't working for some reason, so we do have to pass the mics to each other a little bit. Apologies for that, but here is the interview. After the interview, VFL pushing for ones. Got some team news, which is very exciting, so all that and more. Here's the interview.
I feel like we're sitting on, like, the Big Brother couch in the Big Brother house.
It's harder for me to rebuttal this because we do not have enough microphones and... it's a bit of a ghetto setup, but that's cool.
That's fine. We have two very special guests here for our preview pod, and I'm here for the preview pod too. So we've hijacked this week's Good Friday episode. We are joined by Jazz and Hannah. They are two of the Carlton Besties. I'm sure you've seen all of their phenomenal videos all over socials over the last year and a bit. And so we thought we'd bring them on to the show this week to talk everything Easter. Welcome, girls.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for having us.
We're actually excited.
Yeah, we're really excited.
Well, Hannah's like most excited.
Yeah, because I can be a hater.
Hannah's the biggest North fan going around, so. Alrighty, let's take it away. I'm going to give Josh the mic back to ask all the serious questions.
Thank you. It's time to get serious because I have the mic again. Because I'm the negative guy and you're just the fun, positive one.
Absolutely.
It's very strange that someone is a North Melbourne hater. Do we want to dive into that now or are we going to like...
Yeah, we can talk about it.
I think okay. We need to, yeah, so we don't all argue with each other and we can all be friends and get along. How does somebody hate North Melbourne, the North Melbourne Football Club? Please.
I can't answer this because I don't hate the North Melbourne Football Club, so I'll pass on to Hannah.
So can I be clear? I don't hate just North Melbourne. I hate every team that's not Carlton. But North Melbourne is unfortunately one of the teams that aren't Carlton, so I'll be a hater.
That's it. It's that simple.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't reached that level of delirium yet in my support. But, hey, I guess one day when our lid's off, maybe I'll hate everybody equally.
We've got to be nice to everyone. We've got to be nice to everyone now. So we'll just, you know, let that one slide, guess. Well, we're very blessed to be have Hannah in our presence today on the basis of being a hater.
That is true. So normal preview podcast sort of stuff. But before we start that, I'm going to say everybody who came to say hello to myself and Marnie at Bay 29 or around the ground last week was fantastic. It made me feel like Brad Pitt, George Clooney. You know, are they the best celebrities to use or am I old? Who's a modern celebrity?
Hugh Greenwood.
Wow. That's not what I was after.
I'd go more like Charlie Curnow.
Who?
Charlie Curnow.
Ed Curnow.
I know we're not doing this already. I know we're not.
Wow. I think every time there's Bay 29 on, myself, if Marnie comes down, I'll convince the Close to a Flag guys to do this too, but we might hang outside Bay 29 for everyone to come and say hello to us if you would like to as well. So Bay 29 is going to be on If tickets are still available, get on it, but I'm assuming they're going to sell out very, very quickly. If you're not in Bay 29 and want to come and say hello to all of us, please come down and say hello. We'll just hang outside Bay 29 on the little beer shelves they have for all the lads to sit at and just get drunk and cry their sorrows away, because we lost and we lose all the time. But hey.
Not that attitude, please, not today.
Well, I went in so positive to Frio, you know that. I went in saying we're going to win and I came out crying. So, yeah, I'm not over it. It's still sinking in, but hey, I'm going to move past it.
He's a defeated man, Marnie.
It's all right. We'll let him stay defeated and we'll move on to Good Friday. So, obviously, the marquee game, this is the second year in a row that we have lined up against Carlton. It was a pretty entertaining clash last year, but considering, I mean, the Blues have started the year undefeated, they're 2-0 going, they had the coming off the bye in round two, coming into Good Friday red hot. How are you guys feeling after that? This epic start of the season?
We were actually at the Gabba. We actually went
up. You went to the Gabba?
We were up at the Gabba. Wow. Head in hands at like halftime. Like I couldn't deal. I was almost going to cry. I was like, I spent all this money to come up there and we're down by like 46 points. Charlie Kerno kicked a goal late in the second. Yeah. And I just turned to Hannah and I was like, we're going to win. And she's like,
the first goal, like to come back from the comeback, like the 46 points, Charlie kicked it and that was it. So we were down 40 points at this point when you said that.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're gonna win. And
imagine if we're like that one day. That'd be wild. Imagine having the belief. That's awesome.
That is me, like most weeks. You know that.
That is you, but I laugh at you for that.
I think we were where you guys are, like, not long ago. So it turns really quickly. So hopefully that's, like, a little bit of a positive thing that you can kind of hold on to.
We needed that. Thank you.
But, yeah, then we went to the Richmond game and that was, like, an arm wrestle the whole time. Mm. I hated it. I was not impressed.
Yeah, I felt the same. I walked out of there being like, oh, that felt like a loss. It was, like, the worst win I've ever been to. So I'm not feeling, like, extremely happy with the start. But
well, there's a question, like, how do you feel with the start? Because what is it, 5 points against the Tigers and then 1 point against the Lions? The one thing that I am skeptical on with the Blues is I think they're very, very good, but they don't know how to, like, put a team away. And I just don't believe Carlton at the moment will ever, like, crush a team. Do you think that is coming, or how? Where does your faith sit right now?
Okay, so I actually have spoken about this multiple times this week. We were putting teams away at the very start of our winning streak last year, like 40 point plus wins about 3 weeks, 4 weeks in a row, I think it was. And then it just kind of dropped off, and I think it got to the point where they had run out of legs sort of vibe. This year, like with the fresh start, the Gabba game, we were 46 points down, and just to win that alone was amazing. So I don't want to take the credit away from them at all for that game. But the Richmond game was really disappointing. Like happy with the 4 points, but looking at the ladder now, where we were in the top four at the start of the round, we have not a game on everyone else, but we sort of did at that point. And now we're seventh.
Yeah, okay.
And all these other teams.
The ladder doesn't mean too much right now, though.
No, but it still stresses me out because percentage was the thing that killed us in 2022, and it was the thing that killed us last year as well. So, yeah, that's the only thing that's concerning for me in the first two games.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, I like the Blues, and I like that it's someone that's not, you know, Geelong, Richmond, all the Collingwood, all the normal teams.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of want to see them do it, but I don't know if I'm ready for the delirium. You know what I mean? How would you celebrate if you did it?
Oh, we'd be so insufferable. Like, you would never hear that. You know, you thought Collingwood was bad. Wait until Carlton win it. We will be so
I fully believe that too. I think Collingwood is like so used to being good most years that their delirium sort of like slowly goes down. But a team that's been bad for a while, it'd be like Swan Street after Richmond won it, I reckon.
I mean, our last premiership was 1995. And
the year I was born.
Before last year, our last finals appearance was 10 years before that.
Wow.
So we haven't actually seen a lot of success as a fan base, especially those that are our age. So anyone that's like in their like – late 20s and below, we've seen nothing.
Yeah, well, I'm 29 and I've barely seen that as well. Like, I was born in 95 and, yeah, I know we played you guys in the grand final in 99, but after that, like, yeah, it has been a long drought, hasn't it, now you really think about it?
Yeah, but you guys were good in the 2000s.
We were. We had stints, like, 2007 to 9, we made a prelim and a couple of finals appearances and, you know, 2013 to 17-ish with Santo and Brown and Petrie and Harvey in the latter years, we made a couple of prelims. So we have. It hasn't been as bad for as long as I think people on the outside of North think it has been, but it just dropped really quick.
It's been really bad for us for 25 years.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm just going to agree with you. It's been painful. Like, nothing else you can really say.
So how are you feeling about the upcoming game? What sort of game plan do Carlton play, and how do you think you can exploit us of what you've seen from North so far? Okay. I'm sure you've been watching every game very intently.
Yeah, I'm a big North hater, so I hate watch them.
I hate watch them.
No, I'm just joking. I think we're going to destroy your back line. Like, Charlie and Harry, I don't think that you have the defence for that. We may struggle in the midfield because we struggled last week in the midfield. I think that's – but the forward line is where we've got you, I reckon.
Yeah, and for me, I'm worried about Nick Larkey a little bit. It depends on our ins, and obviously we don't know that right now while we're recording the pod, but there is – whispers that Samuel Peter Walsh will be returning and supposedly Jacob Wiedering. So if King Jacob can get back into our back line, I think he'll be able to tame Suv a little bit. But without him, I don't know if we have the people to kind of slow Nick down.
Well, Larky was pretty quiet against Fremantle over the weekend in round two. So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, how he responds personally. And then obviously if he does come up against Wiedering, he's actually beat Wiedering out quite a few times in, you know, the last few times we've played Carlton. So I think it'll be interesting to see how, well, obviously we don't know if Wiedering will be back, but if he is back and if he can minimise the effect of Larky, or if Larky is once again too strong, and how the forwards around him sort of step up. Bringing it back to the game itself, it obviously is a Good Friday. It's a fundraising game for the Royal Children's Hospital. It's the second year in a row that North have played Carlton. From your perspective, what does it mean to be part of such a big, meaningful game like this one?
Or on a personal level or just in general?
Both.
On a personal level, the Royal Children's Hospital is very special to me and my family. They took very good care of my brother during his 17 years on this earth, and they just did the most remarkable work, and they do even more work with other people. I see it all the time, and I just think I'm so happy that it's my club that my brother and I supported that is part of this. And I just think it's fitting. We both, like, both clubs are in the area of the Royal Children's Hospital. We're just down the road on Royal Parade. You guys are just around the corner. Like, it's great. I think this is the right combination for the game. But as a whole, I love the Good Friday game, and I love that I get to go there and do my bit by, like, watching the game, paying for my ticket and, you know, getting as much money as we can through the besties as well. So I love the Good Friday appeal. It's like probably my most favourite game of the year.
Mm. Yeah, cool. No, I love being a part of it. I think it's – obviously it's our grand final at the moment as well. Just the only time we play at night, to be fair. I don't know. I think it is cool that the two clubs are sort of the closest to the hospital. And I don't know. I think getting little bits of rivalry back in footy is good. I think a lot of them have sort of died out a little bit. And two clubs in a similar area going head-to-head in a big game every year. For us, I hope we perform well enough to keep it. Obviously, I feel like we were very lucky to keep it the few years we played the Dogs and got blown out a lot. But I think we performed pretty well last year. I don't know how the game is going to go, I guess. It depends what ins and outs we have as well. But I don't know. I'm going to back Toby Pink. I think Toby Pink could shut down Kerno. Crazy.
You're wrong, I'm afraid.
No, I think it's going to be tough. I was saying to Marnie before that I'd love to see Charlie Conbin back in to play on Harry Mackay. I can always almost say Ben. I've got to get Ben out of my mind. I think, I don't know. We had Aidan Bonner playing last year, who's probably the worst defender I've ever seen. And he, Charlie Kerno mainly kicked his goals from free kicks. So that kind of gives me a little bit of hope. He's very good. I'm not saying he's not good. And I think Harry and Charlie could possibly kick 20 between them. But, you know, last year didn't go as bad as I thought, and we had our two best key defenders out. Obviously, Harry Mackay seems to be able to kick straight this year, which isn't good for us. Hopefully he starts snapping the ball from 10 metres out again and hitting the point post, which would be nice. I don't think so either, but I'm trying to find a glimmer of hope here.
Off memory, I think they combined for 10.
Was it?
I think it was 6 and like Charlie kicked 6-3 and Harry kicked 4-4 or something. Yeah.
Interesting. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be, to be fair. 100%. When I heard Aidan Bonner and Aidan Call were our two defenders, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be awful. And we delisted one of them. So, hey, we'll see. I don't know. I'm trying to find a glimmer of hope for us. I think if our midfield gets on top, we can be incredibly attacking and damaging.
Mm.
But going the other way, we're pretty poor. So, I don't know. I'm really hoping for us to put in a shift and show that North Ball's real. Even though it only was for a half last week.
I say this all the time to everyone in the community. I just tell them all that North Melbourne is one of our bogey teams. For some strange reason, we let you guys back in the game every time. We did it last year too. Mm. We had you on the ropes. It was like 40-something points. And you ended up losing by like 25.
Yeah, early 24, 25. Yeah, yeah. I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we made our run a little bit too late in that game. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that was kind of like my question before. Like, Carlton just – I'm not convinced Carlton can put away a team at the moment until they prove that in a few games. Mm. And I think obviously North is a game that every Carlton fan thinks you should be doing us by 60. But for some reason we sort of hang around. And even the Giants, like last year when we played the Giants, we lost by 39. And – if this was last year's team, I think we lose by 60 plus.
Yeah.
So we're kind of scrappy this year and I think we've got a lot of effort. Can we do it for four quarters? Geez, I hope so because I've got my ticket and I'm excited, but I don't want to watch a half a footy again. What players from North Melbourne do you worry about? We've talked about Larky, but is there anyone else you think?
George.
Oh, I love George.
I love George.
I love him more.
I'm going to expose myself. I actually went to the game. I was with Marnie. We were doing bestie stuff, which is pretty cool. Excited about
low-key
the
North fan we've got here, Marnie.
I'm converting you slowly and
yeah,
surely.
Yeah, dreaming. Anyways, it's not happening. I'm sorry. Like watching him, like in person,
special.
And like being able to watch him, and I'm not worrying about my team. You know, like when you go to a game and you're watching as a neutral, it's easier to actually watch every player's craft.
Yeah.
So just he plays old school 80s football. He's got grunt. He's great. He's got speed. He's really smart with his like ball use. His ball use is great. He's the only one that's worrying me. I mean, other than Larky, your defense again, like they're not really worrying me. When we have Charlie.
That's okay, you're not offending us. We do know what we're working with here.
I am scared about Zerha as well.
Yeah, really.
Because I reckon he hates Carlton. He
is like you, Hannah, and just hates everyone,
yeah,
to be fair.
Maybe you're yeah, right. Maybe
he's
right.
Your spirit animal.
Yeah. Okay, I can relate to him. But he can do some damage if we let him. So that's probably the only other one.
He's a bit of a bully.
Yeah.
And we've got a few young ones in our midfield at the moment in Ollie Hollins and Jack Carroll, and that like I just worry that Cam's gonna give him a bit of a touch up, and it's a bit scary for them.
Sticking with North players, obviously Zach Fisher came across from Carlton at the end of last year, and he's been really, really solid for us in, well, the preseason especially, but also in our opening two games. What's it been like watching him really be able to, you know, take his opportunity at North that he probably didn't get at Carlton, and, you know, it looks like he's about to flourish?
It's really shit, like, watching it because I love Zach and I loved him. Like, we loved him.
Yeah. we were big Zach Fisher fans, so it was hard to see him go. But it is bittersweet because I don't think he gets a game with us. So it's good to see him off doing his thing, getting like, well, how much do you have? Like 25
touches, I think, yeah. On the weekend, yeah.
Really good.
He should have kicked that goal.
He should have kicked that goal.
I thought his execution out of the back line was really good when we were getting pumped. Like when in that third quarter and the fourth when Frio made their run, I thought his like execution kicking out of the back line and having that next kick up to the wing was very, very good. You know, players, the other players we got down there are very, very young and we don't have composure. Mm. If it's not Sheasel, I get a bit worried sometimes. McKercher looks very clean, but he's also only two games into his career. So I don't know. I think we. I think Fisher's been really, really good, and I know his first game was a little bit underwhelming, but he'll settle. I'm excited.
He's one that's been in and out of the Carlton team a lot. Like he's one that's played three games and then will get dropped.
Why was it like that?
Like that for us because we just had so much depth in our midfield at that point, and he was playing like a wing role, and he's not actually a winger.
Yeah.
So towards the end of his time at Carlton, we moved him into the halfback position because that's really where we needed someone at that time.
Mm.
We had a lot of injuries in our defence last year in particular. So we had to move him and kind of give him a rebirth. And I think that that's been really good for him, and he's playing a really great role for you guys. He's one that I just hope flourishes at your club, and I hope that he can give you guys what you need, and I hope he's extremely successful. It's so hard to watch someone that you love that much go to and put on a different shade of blue, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm just happy for him. I'm happy that he's getting the recognition and the appreciation, and he's getting that solid best 23 spot. That he didn't
getting the opportunity to show what he can do. He's only 25, I think. So.
Yeah, he's quite young, and he's only going to get better with game time. And I think your club is able to give him that game time, the consistent game time that he needs.
I think one thing that maybe will catch a few people off guard playing North this year is a lot of our players maybe aren't quite as known. Like I think LDU is a player to watch out for as well who could put in a shift for us. Like he is racking up 30 touches a week. I've criticised him a little bit for his defensive side of the game, but, you know, against Freo on the weekend, he was fantastic. You know, a lesser known guy to the rest of the world, Paul Curtis, I think is having a very good year up forward. And if you don't have – he's quite small and can play on the ground, but he's incredibly physical and took a few contested marks against some bigger opponents last game for us. So there are some players, if we get on top, I think we can damage you, but yeah, Carlton's obviously in a very different position than North Melbourne. I'll ask you this then, Marnie, and I'll pass you the mic. Who are you scared of, other than the forwards that we know and we're always going to talk about? Who are you scared of for the Blues?
Well, I think the obvious one, if he returns, is Sam Walsh. I think you can never really no matter what his fitness level and no matter, you know, what his form is, his best and worst are very, very, very small difference between them. He's always having an impact and he's always incredibly dangerous. So I think he's probably one. I haven't watched too much of Carlton so far this year, but you do know that it's all of the come on.
that's pretty shit by you, not gonna lie.
It's all the usual suspects. I think the thing with Carlton is there are so many talented players in that side.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes them so dangerous is that in amongst all the talent, there, you know, you've obviously got Cripps and then you've got Walsh and you've got Mackay and you've got Kerno and you've got Wiedering down back when he plays. But then in between all of these players, you've got players like an Akers or you've got someone like a McGovern or you've got someone like Williams or, you know, these guys who lift because they're around good players. And I think that's what makes Carlton so dangerous. I mean, you've even got players like Durden or you've got Owies. I mean, these guys are, you know, 21, 22 out of the 23. And even them on their day, they can just be as dangerous. So I think Carlton as a unit and when they get on a roll, they are pretty much unstoppable.
Real.
Yeah.
Look at the smiles.
Yeah, they know.
I loved hearing that. That was really good. Can you keep going?
No, I'm not going to keep going.
Can you say a little bit more?
Yeah. I'll say a little bit more. I think North Ball tears them apart and they've got no answer. I think they capitulate. Vossi's going to be like, oh, what do I do in the coach's box? Just like the prelim.
Vossi doesn't go in the coach's box. He's a No, he sits on the
side. He's a boundary rider, and I wish – we were talking about this against Freo. I wish Clarko would spend more time on the boundary line. An animated Clarko on the boundary line.
I feel like that might be because he's got that suspension sort of thing looming over him. He's going to get too emotional. He can't risk being down at the boundary line.
Yeah, probably. We can't spend any more time without him. So let's just keep him in the coach's box, keep him safe for now. Before we get on to sort of final tips and predictions for the game, I just want to talk a little bit about the Besties. So obviously Carlton Besties, for those who don't know, you guys started that along with Tori and Kirst at the start of last season. Tell us a bit about that and how that's grown.
Okay. Wow.
I
love talking about the Besties because it's so much fun.
We love the Besties.
So basically we started the Carlton Besties literally at the start of last season. It started off as something that we just wanted to do to get ourselves involved with the club. It was for the girls. It was like an all-girl team. We just wanted to get the girlies on the map because AFL and the AFL fan content space is very saturated with male content.
Correct.
That does not actually appeal to the feelings or the way that we experience football.
Yeah.
So football is a lot more of an emotional thing for girls. We care about different things than the guys do. I love looking at the stats. I love opening the AFL up and seeing exactly how well everyone's doing, but that's not the reality for everyone.
Yeah, of course.
I just don't think people should be excluded from enjoying AFL because they don't understand stats.
Yeah, it's not something that you have to be an all or nothing. You know, you don't have to be a full nuff or not interested at all. There's definitely something to enjoy in football for everyone.
Yeah.
And so this really opens the door for those people who do want to get involved on a more, I don't know, not shallow level, but just for pure enjoyment.
I mean, AFL is massive in Melbourne, and anyone that lives in Victoria, you definitely have an AFL team. You've picked your team. And I just want to make sure that we can provide content that's enjoyable for the people that are at that surface level, and especially the younger generation. I remember when I was growing up, especially something that Tori and I talk about all the time, I grew up watching the footy with my dad. I've been going since I was 4 years old with my dad every single week.
Me too.
Every single week. I would skip going to like birthday parties, like little birthday parties at play centres. And so I'd be like, no, I'm going to the football with
my
dad.
Sorry to any of Jazz's four-year-old friends who are listening. The truth has finally come out.
Yeah, I wasn't sick. I was at the football. Sorry.
Soz.
My mum's like, she's not feeling well. My dad's like, come on, we've got to get a hot dog. Let's go. So, yeah, it's just been a massive part of my life. And I just remember being young and having – no one in that space that looked like me or that understood the game like me. And as we got older, I guess that we wanted to become more involved because as you get older, you understand the game better and you love it even more. Like I loved it when I was four, but I love it even more now that I actually understand what's going on. And I just want to be that person that people can look at and go, hey, she looks like me and she's understanding the game like me and she talks like me and thinks like me, because I never had that when I was younger.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's still that stereotype around women knowing things about football. You know, I'm in the same boat as you. I've been doing this for a while now, and people still, you know, comment and say, oh, like, she must be connected to the club because how else would she know so much about football? It's like, no, I actually am just a pure nuffie, and 95% of my personality is being a North Melbourne supporter. Surprise.
Well, mine's 98% Carlton, so.
I'm going to vouch for Marnie right now. You make me look like a surface level fan sometimes. So if you want someone to vouch for Marnie, she's an absolute nut job about North Melbourne. And I don't know if I'll ever reach your level of crazy when it comes to North.
That's probably a good thing. We don't need two crazies on a pod every week.
That is true. I can level you out sometimes, but you lift me up. So I think it's a good talking point about how like girls experience football differently. Like I guess I've never really thought about it in that way, but I know a lot of the girls I know who love football, they're always so, like, I feel like they're a lot more connected to the players as individuals, maybe more than the team as a whole. And I don't really care about the except for George Wardlaw, the players as much as a whole as I do the team. So I think when Marnie told me about the Bestie, I sort of instantly was like, that's a cool thing to do, to sort of have an all-female sort of content space, because, yeah, you do experience it in a different way. And I don't know. I think it's going to grow heaps, and I don't know. I like it. And I think the content's fun and little bits that you can clip up, and the players sort of being involved and being happy and sort of having a little bit of a different side to them, I think is really good, and something that, especially with social media now, we want to see more of that. So no, it's good.
I mean, the stuff with the players was like an afterthought. It was only meant to be like the fans sort of thing. Okay, yeah. And then we thought, oh, let's just try it. Let's just take the mic. And we were in Perth and we took the mini mic up there and we're like, look, it's a dead open training. Let's give it a go. Gave it a go. The heat reciprocated so well. And we're like, okay, all right. Maybe it was a fluke. Tori tried it again in Sydney. They were like, were you in Perth? And we're like, okay, like this is it. Like it's working.
Yeah.
But for them, like the player stuff for me is my favorite. Mm. And it's not because I get to stand there in front of them. It's because we get to know them as humans.
Mm.
Like we ask them really rogue questions that normal media would never ask. And I think it's really refreshing for them to stand there in front of media and answer questions about themselves rather than their form or their ability or what they're doing right or what they're not doing right or the Carlton Football Club as a whole. Yeah. I think the AFL space, especially just mainstream media, is so dehumanizing.
It's very toxic too. It's always negative, and because that's what drives more stories. And I've been on this for a while, like for years about this, that, you know, podcasts and like fan channels and things like what we're doing is sort of slowly not taking over. I don't think it'll be bigger because you just can't get the eyes on it, I guess. But it's offering something really, really different that I think a lot more people resonate with.
Mm.
And then, you know, the mainstream media sees that, tries to replicate it, but realizes that the only way to get maybe as many clicks or views or comments is to be really negative. And people are starting to pick up on that. And you look at any comment section from most mainstream media outlets and it's all incredibly negative. You know, the thing that made me happy, was it Zach Fisher's girlfriend puts water on her Weet-Bix? Was that?
Yeah.
That is the content I want. I don't want to hear Matthew Lloyd breaking down a play. I want to know that Zach Fisher's missus puts water on her Weet-Bix because that is gross.
I think the best part about all that as well is the mainstream media, they're not experiencing the game the way that the fans are.
Yeah, that is so true.
They're not
yeah.
because Matthew Lloyd does not care about what the Carlton Football Club is doing.
No.
He doesn't care if we go 0-2. He doesn't care if we go 2-0. He doesn't care, right?
Yeah.
Because it does not affect him at the end of the day. But us as fans, we go to the game, we experience a loss, and it weighs on us for days. We think about it for days. We sit there and dissect the game. We go back, watch the replay. Oh, we went wrong here, we went wrong there. They don't do that. They don't care. You need a care factor. Like there needs to be some level of care and drive behind the content that you make and the opinions that you give. Mm. And if you are coming from a point of this is my professional job and I'm a media person, you're never going to get that emotional pull that you would from like, say, a fan.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think as a fan, you know, and starting the podcast, I was sort of like, I really wanted to hear positive things about North Melbourne, and being a small team, you don't hear that very often. It's always spun to be in a very negative way because that's going to get more, you know, likes or comments than it will a positive story about us. And then, you know, trying to be as an objective fan as I can be, but putting a podcast out, people seem to like it because it's level-headed, but it's also like people know the intent is good, or people know it's coming from a fan's perspective that they can resonate with. And I think that's something that's new in the last few years. And yeah, I don't know. It's something that people want a lot more because you're right, it has got incredibly negative.
Well, I mean, if you're sitting there and saying, oh, Harry Mackay had an average game, if I'm saying that, people are like, oh, well, she's just coming from a place of like she cares. Whereas the media says that and it's like, oh, how far down can we drag his name? How far can we go with it?
Yeah, and I think the media cycle's become so saturated these days that – you know, there's so much of it and it is super negative. So it is really nice to have something positive and just have something a bit fun and bring the fun back into football. You know, it's gone from being a game to becoming a business, particularly in the last 2 decades. It's become a lot more professional. And, you know, with that comes the extra scrutiny and the extra expectations. So to have that kind of lighthearted fun away from all of that, I think has been really, really refreshing. And I think that's why it has been so successful. So successful to the point that you're now reaching out and, you know, getting other clubs involved.
I know, it's kind of crazy.
It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It's really crazy because never in a million years would I step foot at Arden Street. and go, oh, I'll come with you to art. No. But it's a business
now.
But
you've come twice now and that's been, we've had a lot of fun.
I've had to come with you, girl. I'm not going to let you go by yourself.
We've had so much fun. So for those who don't know, Carlton Besties has sort of expanded at the start of this season to the Footy Besties with Hawthorn, Brisbane, St Kilda joining the ranks. And now our beloved North Melbourne is there too.
You guys are so lucky.
You guys are so lucky to have me. What can I say? Not kidding. No, it's been super, super fun. It's obviously something that I've just jumped on board over the last sort of 6 weeks, and Jazz and I have been speaking about this for a really, really long time. And for us to be able to bring you even more fun North content has been, for me, I'm really cherishing the opportunity because it's so often that North is left behind. And, you know, we are by far the smallest club in Victoria and one of the smallest clubs in the competition. So for me personally, having grown up like you, Jazz, going to the footy every week with my dad and my brother for the last, you know, 20 odd years, the club that I love so much, and, you know, I'm so lucky to have so many special relationships with a lot of the players. So to be able to bring that to our fans and to the wider AFL community is something that, you know, I take great pride in, and something that I hope to do justice for everyone out there. So for everyone who does see us roaming around mostly Marvel Stadium and the MCG once a year in our novelty once a year game at the G, please come and find me. We'll have the little mini mics and hope to get as many of you guys, you know, on the mic as well as the players throughout the season.
It's amazing.
We love it.
Thanks for coming on board, girl.
Well, thanks for having me and thanks for being here today. Let's wrap this one. Take this one home. Predictions for Good Friday blockbuster. North take on Carlton this Friday. Good Friday. It is weird saying Friday. God, I'm excited though. I love a bit of Friday footy. How do you guys think this one is going to go? A tip, a margin? Give us all the painful reality check that we probably need.
I don't know if I want you to go first. I'm scared you're going to – actually, you go first and then I can, like, soften the blow.
Okay. It's all right. I'm editing this so I can cut this bit out of the
podcast. What kind of tips do you want? Like, do you want, like a prediction of, like, what – like Patrick's going to have 45 million touches, or, like, what do you want?
No, just tell us what you think, like, how the game's going to end. Do you think you'll win, and then how many points
all
do you
right,
think you'll
that's
win?
Easy.
That's enough Crips talk on this podcast.
You guys are saying that we can't put teams away. I'm here to tell you that we are going to put you away by, let's say, 64 points.
Interesting. Yep. Hasn't happened this year so far, but interesting.
I also think we may put you away. but I don't think it'll be 64 points. I'm going to go more towards, like, 40 points. I reckon around 40.
Yeah, that's really softening the blow, isn't it?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for going easy. Thanks for going easy on us.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to predict a Carlton win. I'm not that deluded, but I don't think you'll ever be comfortable. I think we'll have runs. I could absolutely see us maybe being ahead or very close at halftime. Third quarter is our weak spot. I could see you extending it then. But not enough to be super comfortable. So I'll say Carlton by 4 goals.
Not I'm enough. Going to Lulu. I think we'll win.
Oh my God.
It's not happening, girl.
I have last year's Good Friday game living rent-free in my head, and I think that from a North perspective, I think the pressure for us to perform is mounting year on year with this game. We've only won.
We've had a week off. We've had a nice rest and we have lots of energy.
Historically, teams don't come back very well after the bye. I'm just going to say that. But
Carlton won 8 out of their last 9 games after the bye.
Okay, so we'll make our game the one win that we take away from you guys. I just think from North's perspective, obviously we've, you know, campaigned to have the Good Friday game for a really, really long time. We finally got it. In 2017 was the first year that we had it, and we've only won once, and that was against St Kilda in 2018. We've lost every game, every Good Friday game since, which is a bit of a, you know, bitter pill to swallow. So I really think that, yeah, the pressure for us to perform is mounting, and I think we really need to rise to the occasion. And I think what we saw against Fremantle over the weekend, now I'm not saying I think that Carlton's probably a better quality opposition than Fremantle. But I think that our, from what I saw, and again, this is a real Delulu take, but hear me out. From what I saw, you know, in the first half against Fremantle was probably good enough to beat any team. And I think that while Carlton have pulled off two remarkable wins, one was obviously an incredible fight back at the Gabba, and then, you know, it was a bit of an arm wrestle and you were good enough to grind out that game against Richmond. But I think that Carlton too, like North have been, can fall victim to having quiet patches as well. So there were definitely times against Fremantle we didn't take our opportunities, and if we really step up and take our opportunities, I expect Nick Larkey to return stronger. Jai Simpkins been in for a week now, so hopefully he'll find his groove. Obviously George Wardlaw's had a really great start to the season, so has LDU. Hopefully our forward line is looking a little bit more stable, and we do have a second strong key forward next to Larkey to properly support him. I think there is potential for us to win this game. And if we do, it'll be less than 10 points. I don't think it'll be a lot. But I do think that if we take every opportunity that comes our way, we could pull off a big upset.
I strongly disagree. I have to say, I strongly disagree.
What a surprise.
I thought that was a good little motivational speech there for me.
You pumped me up. I might change my tip now. Who knows? No, I'm excited for the end of the season to look back on this game and be like, that's the reason Carlton finished ninth. So
that's good.
All right, we'll wrap it up here, but thank you for coming on again, guys. If anyone doesn't follow the Besties, please get around it. You're going to be seeing them around the game. Little microphones all over the place.
And, everywhere.
Go and chat to them. They're mostly friendly. They don't bite.
I don't bite.
No, I don't want to go. I'm not going to spread any more what people say on the internet. All right. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Good luck, but not too much on the weekend. And yeah, we'll see you guys again soon.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, guys.
Okay. These are the changes I would have made. So some crazy ones for me. I mean, it's interesting after such a good first half and a poor second half against Frio, but not all of these are going to happen. These are my personal changes of what I would like to see. I will talk about them and say which ones I think will and won't happen, okay? Personally, and once again, I think there's five changes to be made here. I don't think we're ever going to have five changes. Everyone's going to get a run this week, but, well, we're going to get consistent football for the first few weeks. But these are the changes I would have made. So out goes Aiden Corr for me. I don't think this bloke will ever be dropped. He's part of the leadership group, and he's capable of better performances than he showed, but he was definitely the weakest of the three. My main gripe is I want Charlie Combin in this team. My gut is kind of starting to tell me that I really wish they were still kind of playing him up forward. And I think he can be a fantastic defender. Chime is a little bit wayward in front of goal, even though he can always tighten that up. I don't know. I kind of want him back in the forward line because we're just not going to be able to fit him in. Last week I wanted Chom in for Pink, and rightly so. Toby Pink didn't have a good first round, but was much, much, much better in round two. So I can't drop Toby Pink after his performance. And look, Aiden Corr is never getting dropped, but I want Chom in this team. So that's what I would do. That won't happen though. The next change I would have made was Miller Bergman in for Darcy Tucker. Now, Miller Bergman had a great game in the VFL. I'll just try and get up some stats, which I actually found here. Miller Bergman, 29 touches, 19 kicks, 10 handballs, 7 marks, and was really good sort of by foot, progressing our ball out of the D50 in the VFL. Unfortunately, he has succumbed to injury, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But so that will not be happening as well, which sucks. But Miller Bergman had a really, really good time in the VFL. The reason I want Miller Bergman to come back in this team is our defense needs more actual defenders, and I think he can actually do that. Shizul, McKercher, Fisher, all down there now that Goda's not there. Yeah, it's just not defensive enough, and we need another guy who can do some defending. And I think Miller Bergman is capable of that. That will not happen. I would be bringing Darcy Tucker out. Not good enough. I don't care that the 2 weeks in the start of preseason, he was meant to be best on track. Hasn't done anything, and I just think he's a bit of a meh player, to be honest. So, look, he doesn't do anything wrong. He doesn't do anything amazing. He's just kind of there. So I would have brought Bergman out for Tucker. Sellers in for CCJ. I think some of my CCJ comments got confused last week. I'm not going to dive into that because I don't have to explain myself too much. But he hasn't been good enough. And Sellers has kicked six in a pracky game, kicked six in the VFL last week. And he sort of just deserves his shot. Now, let's have a look and see Sellers' stats. So 15 disposals, 10 kicks, five marks. So fantastic from him. Five marks for six goals. He's just going to hopefully bring a presence that we don't have. Now, the thing I would be worried about is he's never played an AFL game. So I think we go, oh, CCJ sucks. Just bring Sellers in. He'll be much better. Doesn't really work like that. Maybe it does, and it's miraculously some Tom Stewart sort of thing. But realistically, I'm not sure Sellers will come in and make an instant impact. VFL to AFL level is a massive step up. So, but I'd be giving him a go because CCJ is not it right now. I'd bring in Greenwood for Lazaro. Harsh, I love Charlie Lazaro, but maybe getting subbed, I think, tells a lot. And he hasn't really found a heap of the footy so far. Our midfield needs more grunt. It needs tackling, it needs defensive pressure, and it needs leadership. Greenwood brings that. This is not even Marty Cohen getting into my brain. This is genuinely, we need Hugh Greenwood in the middle. Yeah, experience, he will tackle, he will play on that defensive side of the contest and stop it from just, you know, them basically taking the piss and running it down into our 50 like Freo did many times. And Will Phillips for Jaden Stevenson. Now, this is probably the most controversial one to me anyway, maybe not with the core or the Lazaro ones, but Stevo, I like him. I really liked all of his talk in the preseason about wanting to step up, be a leader. Apparently to Dersma, he's been doing really, really well, just mentoring him and whatnot. But I just don't think he's going to get better. I want to be proven wrong, and I could fully see him going back to the VFL and kicking seven and then coming back in. I just think we need less forwards that maybe don't get around enough. We need more midfield options. I think Powell, Wardlaw, Simkin, LDU are fantastic midfielders, but defensively, none of them, maybe except Wardlaw, he'll tackle for days. But I don't think the other guys will, to be honest. I think the other guys will try, but that's just not their natural game. Will Phillips is going to get on the ground and do a bit more dirty work than any of those guys will. So will Hugh Greenwood, and they're the options I would like to bring in. So maybe Greenwood as a sub, but they're the changes I would be making. Okay, some team news. Tom Powell has signed a two-year deal officially. That's incredibly exciting. I like Tom Powell. I think he stepped up a lot this preseason. He looked good last preseason. Maybe didn't quite hit the heights. And now I really like what I'm seeing from him. Best on ground last week. Really, really happy with this signing. I think he's a player that has benefited from maybe Taron's departure because it's left another spot in the midfield for him to take advantage of. But now Phillips and Lazaro are clearly behind him. He looks really, really good. Miller Bergman is out 4 to 6 weeks with a jaw injury. Now, I don't exactly know what's happened. I saw the Instagram post, but I haven't read much about it yet. I'm assuming he got a knock in the VFL at training. He will not be playing as much as I would love him to be playing. I think he's earning his spot. So, unfortunately, he will not be there. 4 to 6 weeks out, which sucks because we're really starting to lose defensive options in this area, in the back line, actual proper defenders. So, yeah, unfortunate. Lastly, George Wardlaw, my favourite George Wardlaw Rising Star nomination, and what a deserved one at that. Got one last year as well, but he only played, I don't know what the threshold of games is. He didn't play enough games. So it's like a Ben Simmons situation where, you know, he hasn't played enough games. Well, I guess Ben Simmons missed the whole year, but you guys know what I mean. Second year in the league, didn't play enough, so he's eligible for the Rising Star. So George Wardlaw, Rising Star nomination, was fantastic last week. Really dominated that game. That was the best overall George Wardlaw performance I've seen in his career. He's a very short career so far, so really, really good job, George. You guys know how I feel about George Wardlaw. He's my favourite player. I love him. His tenacity at the ball, his skill level, you know, he's just always doing something that positively benefits this team. He has a couple of clangers every now and then. His handball that got intercepted led to a goal last week. And sometimes his kicking's a bit wayward, but that's a young player who's going to get smarter. And he will be one of the best midfielders in the league at some point. So, yeah. I love George Wardlaw. Let's have a look at some of the results really quickly from the round. You know what? No, North Melbourne first, under the microscope. Who am I going to put under the microscope this week? So last week's was, who was it? Zach Fisher, who responded excellently. He responded really, really, really well. So I really like what I'm seeing from him. It has to be Dylan Stevens this week. Dylan Stevens, not good enough last week. So Dylan Stevens, my favourite. I like Dylan Stevens. I'm on the Dylan Stevens train. But I need more from you, sir. You can do it because I know you can. So I'm expecting more from Dylan Stevens. If he doesn't perform again, you know, doesn't Eddie Ford go to the wing or something like that? Who knows? But Dylan Stevens, you're under the microscope, mate. I need you to step up this week. So let's tip this week. Once again, my tips are 100% accurate all of the time. And if you are in a tipping competition, you should take all these incredibly seriously. Brisbane and Collingwood. I think Brisbane are winning that one. It's at the Gabba. I guess that's why I'm going to pick them. It could go either way. Two teams haven't won a game who were in the grand final last year. Wild. So I think Brisbane might win this one and send the Pies to 0-4, and it's really going to be panic stations. Then that's going to be hilarious. Look, we've already tipped this one. I think Carlton do beat North, but I don't think they ever put it away. So hopefully we give them a run for their money. Fremantle, Adelaide at Optus Perth. I think Fremantle win that one, to be honest with you. Adelaide don't look all that. Over there, I'm going to pick Frio. Essendon, St Kilda, battle of the mid-teams. And they're kind of the most mid, 9th and 11th. Yep, that sums them up. St Kilda on the Marvel track, the quick Marvel track. Melbourne, Port Adelaide, Melbourne win this one. They've impressed me more than I thought. Port Adelaide don't have any gumption. So Melbourne are going to beat Port Adelaide, even though it's over in Adelaide. Bulldogs, Eagles, Bulldogs will win that one. We don't have to worry about that. Richmond, Swans win that one. No worries at all. And the Cats will beat the Hawks. No worries at all as well. So some easy ones to tip this week. Can't believe the Hawks are only $3.18. Jeez, this team's overhyped. Richmond as well, $3.44. I guess it's because it's at the G, but wow, those teams are overhyped. It's disrespectful putting us at $6 and them at like $3. Anyway, whatever. Who cares? Lock in those tips, guys. Lock in those tips, absolutely. What else have we got to talk about? Not much. I'm going to get out of your hair now. The interview with the besties went for a long while, which is not a bad thing. Love those guys. Thank you very much for coming on again. But yeah, I'll get out of your hair. Please remember, follow all the socials. We're on YouTube now if you want to see my face, Marnie's face, and connect with us a little bit more. That's growing a lot. Instagram is growing heaps. We're on Facebook, TikTok now as well, all sorts of stuff. So get around that. I love the communication. Thank you for all the voice notes as well. What the voice notes are going to be from now on is called the weekly roundup, I've decided. So instead of asking me questions in the voicemails, just give me some Arsenal Fan TV style. What are you doing? Why is this guy like this? I want energy. I want excitement out of it. And I'm going to make a compilation and multiple compilations that I'll put throughout the episode so I can try and get everybody's voice messages in. So thank you to everyone who did that. It's going to be called the Fan Roundup. And just going to make compilations of your guys' opinions on the game. So don't ask me personal questions. Just say what you thought of the games and your own opinions, and you'll hear your voice more weeks than not, unless we get heaps of them. Other than that, come and say hi. Bay 29, I've already talked about this, but Bay 29, outside aisle 29 at Marvel on Friday. We'll be hanging outside that bay if you guys want to come down and say hello. And we can sip on a beverage and talk about North Melbourne and our sorrows at halftime, or if we're up by 30 points. That will be good. So I'll see you guys at Bay 29 or outside there at halftime at Marvel Stadium on Good Friday. I'm really happy we are a part of this fixture again, and let's hope we do enough to keep it for years to come, because being part of the Good Friday appeal is always fantastic, and it goes to a great cause. I didn't talk about the Guernseys. Oh, my God. They're bad. That's about it. I mean, look, what can you do with green and purple on top of blue and white? I mean, look, they've incorporated the bounding rule in it. My God. Look, obviously, and this, I don't have to tell you guys this, it's nothing to do with my opinion on the Children's Hospital. The jerseys are rubbish. They're awful. It's worse. Is it worse than last year's? Ah, who knows? They're both awful. So, look, I'll purchase it if you've got the coin, and hopefully all the donations go to the thing. But this is an awful Guernsey. So, yuck, yuck, yuck. But fantastic appeal and cause, and donations are more than welcome to that fantastic foundation. So, if you guys don't understand that I just hate the Guernsey, not the thing, that's a you problem, not me. So, anyway, that is all. See you later, guys. I will see you at the game. And if not, talk to you in the review podcast. Bye-bye.